We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Are you a broken vessel, weighted down with discouragement, illness, or perhaps a disability? Well, take heart. Whatever your burden may be, God offers treasures that will transform your life. Hello, dear listeners. You're listening to Broken Vessels, Hidden Treasures. And here are your hosts, Paul and Tabitha Norris.
Imagine being on a relaxing getaway with your spouse when suddenly having your life turned upside down by terrorists. We're privileged today to have a special guest who not only survived this ordeal, but now flourishes through the strength and joy of our Lord. Her testimony will challenge us to a faith on a much higher plane. She's the author of the New York Times best-selling book, In the Presence of My Enemies, and more recently, To Fly Again, Gracia Burnham. It's such an honor to have you on the show today, Gracia.
Oh, thank you. So good to be here.
Gracia, I remember following the news and praying for you and Martin during your captivity, and we are still just so very thankful that the Lord delivered you, and especially grateful for what God has done in and through you since then.
Well, let me say right off, thank you for praying, because we needed it. Mm-hmm. And I don't take that lightly. So, don't want to pass up the opportunity to say thank you.
Well, would you take us back to May 2001 and tell us how it all began?
My husband was a jungle pilot for a mission organization in the Philippines, and we had been there for 16 years. Our three children were born there, and we loved our ministry. Our job was to be the link between people who were out in the jungles where no roads go. So think of all the things you buy in a month for your household. We would buy those for about 12 families, and we would box them up and fly them into these little airstrips in the mountains. And if there was a medical emergency for anyone in the village, we would fly them out and take them to the hospital. That was our job. Well, we went down to work on a southern island in the Philippines. And while we were there, our anniversary rolled around, and we'd never been out to Dos Palmas before, and everybody'd always talked about it. So we went out there, and that was just the time when a militant Muslim group called the Abu Sayyaf raided the resort and took 20 hostages. Martin and I were two of them. And they raided the resort early in the morning and took us to a waiting speedboat that they had there, and took us out into the ocean. And for 5 days, we were out on the ocean and finally got to land. And that's when there was a big group of Abu Sayyaf, a militant group there that everybody knows about in the Philippines. And that started a year of running for our lives through the jungle from the Philippine military, who, of course, were trying to rescue us.
You faced a lot of uncertainty every single day during that ordeal, including the possibility of death. How were you able to keep putting one foot in front of the other, dealing with all the fears and the worries?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure I did a real good job of that in the beginning. Just getting to know those guys and realizing who they were, and then witnessing the atrocities that they committed, and realizing the dire circumstances we were in. When the gravity of the situation hit me, I think I started talking to myself, because I was trying to work through all this, surely this bad thing can't happen to us. We were serving God here. all these questions started just coming to my mind. So I started talking to myself, and I would quote scripture to myself, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my right arm." And just speaking truth to myself, because the terror was always, you know, just right there, ready to come out.
That's a good lesson, really, for all of us. It's so easy to pour all of our focus onto the problem and take our eyes off the Lord.
I think you're right, because all of a sudden, all the things that sound so great when you're in a good situation, it's almost like all that flies out the window, and suddenly this is real life for you, and this isn't what's supposed to happen to a child of God. And you almost have to come to know the Lord again, or come to know him in a whole different way. I'm not sure I'm explaining that well, but he meets us where we are, doesn't he?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
You know, as believers, when we go through some pretty tough adversity, it's easy for us to kind of fall into that temptation of thinking God isn't there. You know, when you're going through your ordeal in the jungle, can you give us some examples of how God kind of continued to prove that he was there for you and would comfort you?
There were a few times when I was at my lowest. One day it was when I saw the hatred in my heart. It was like shocking. One of the guys, his name was Musab, one of the leaders of the group, had forced us to carry his extra rice that day through the jungle because he was lazy and he didn't want to do it. And so we had his rice, and my anger just grew and grew as we hiked all day and up mountains. And at one stop, I was so exhausted, so mad at him, that I sat down and told Martin, "One day Musab is going to burn in hell, and I hope I'm there to see it." And, you know, what was in my heart just came out, and it was shocking. Who would ever say something like that? And I could see the shocked look on Martin's face. And he said, "Gracia, if you really believe that, you should pray for Musab, not hate him." And he just very gently rebuked me right there. And I just prayed and said, "Lord, can you change me? Look what I've become here, bitter and hating, and can you change me?" And we started hiking again, and we were going to have to hike up this mountain that day. And I had just asked God to change me. And as we started up that mountain with the rice still, the words from scripture came to me, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And it was just suddenly very clear to me, you know, for one thing, that whole passage came to my mind. Yeah. The weight I needed to set aside wasn't the weight in my backpack that Musab was making me carry. It was the weight of hatred and bitterness that I wasn't willing to give up. So you lay aside the weight, I thought, and then you run with patience the race set before you. And the race before me today is getting to the top of that mountain. Do it with patience. And when you think you can't take one step, the Bible says, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, one day Jesus carried a heavy load up a hill for me. We look to Jesus. He's our example. And it's like that scripture came alive to me that day when I was at my lowest, seeing my sin, seeing myself for what I was. And God did that over and over for me in the jungle. It was really amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So can you tell us about the day that you were rescued?
Yeah. It was more than a year. We'd been in the jungle by that time. And someone had even paid a ransom for us several weeks before, and we were all excited because a ransom meant, you know, we were all going to go home, but bad guys are bad guys, and they ask for more money.
Right.
So we were, you know, again, at our lowest. A few days before, a backpack and some supplies had come into our group, and we knew they were from a leader out in town. And I remember kind of thinking about that backpack. That sure is pretty. And they had examined it well. Well, what we didn't know is the guys on the outside, the CIA, had sewn a homing device into that backpack. So the military was able to follow us and know what area we were in. We were starving at that point. We hadn't eaten in over 10 days. And I didn't know you could go that long without food, but we had water, and we were eating leaves off the trees as we passed. And I was so low. And this particular day, we found food, unripe nangka. It's a fruit that grows in the Philippines. And we had just, you know, gorged ourselves with this unripe fruit. And I was so discouraged and told Martin, you know, I don't know how much longer I can do this. I always said that to him. And he said, let's keep going today, Gracia. I think we're going to go home. Just don't know when. And what we didn't know was the military was indeed following us. And at one point, we heard them and realized we were being followed. So we had mobiled long and hard. And then it clouded up to rain. And always before, there was like this unwritten rule between the Abu Sayyaf and the military. They never fought in the rain. They always stopped and kind of hid in the rain. So that's what we did that day. It was starting to rain, so we put up our hammocks and these plastic sheeting that would shed the water so we didn't get wet. And Martin and I prayed together and laid down for a rest. And the Philippine military didn't stop for the rain that day. much to their credit, they pushed on and came over the hill, and they just opened fire on us. It turned into a gun battle like we'd been in, you know, 17. This is our 17th gun battle. They would just find us and shoot up the camp. And I immediately hit the ground. I knew what to do, and kind of slid down the hill. It was so steep and slick, and came to rest beside Martin, and I looked over at him, and he was bleeding from his chest. And I knew I'd been shot. I knew that leg wounds would heal. I had a leg wound, or it had a chance of healing. I knew that chest wounds, you know, don't heal. And Martin died there on the side of the hill. And I remember thinking, this isn't what we were praying for. But just having a real peace that the same God who'd kept us so well for our year in the jungle was going to keep me now. I just had no doubt of that. And then the Abu Sayyaf fled down the river, and the military, the soldiers came down, and I started moving my hands around. I'd been trying to look dead because I thought, oh, the worst thing that can happen now is, you know, Martin's dying and they take me into the jungle, right, and this nightmare continue. And so once they were gone, I started moving my hands around so they would know I was alive. And they dragged me to the top of the hill and called a helicopter. And and that was that. Took me out to a U.S. Army field unit that was there. Their whole job was to wait for Martin and I. And they did surgery right there at the field unit in the OR. And I just remember having a real peace, being really sad, but just thinking, you know what, God's going to take care of me.
Yeah. A lot of people who will use suffering and evil, unfair circumstances as the reason to walk away from God. What has kept you from bitterness toward God? What helps you keep your eyes on Him?
Well, I think He gently taught me some things in the jungle. And I say gently, and it may not sound gently to others, but it really was. He was so gentle as He taught me life lessons. And, you know, I don't think I've been the faithful one in this story. I think He's been the faithful one. I was at church Sunday, and this lady with some just emotional hurts and hard things that have happened to her had her service dog. She always comes and sits on the front row with her service dog during the service. And I was watching that service dog, and his eyes never left her face. You know, He was always watching in case she needed something. And I thought, that's what God did for me in the jungle. He kept His eye on me. His eye never left me because He's faithful. And I was thinking back to when the disciples were going through a hard time, and they said, Lord, where else can we turn? There's nowhere else to turn. Right. And when you turn away from the Lord because of hard things, you've done the worst thing for yourself that you can do. Because now you have to come up with some other plan, right?
Exactly.
I don't know, counseling or some other crutch to help you get through life. And why not look to the one who made you? Mm. And the one who can work all things together for good for you, why not turn to Him? And then in His time, maybe He'll show you why you went through that hard time. Or you'll see how your strength is renewed because of what you went through. Or maybe you'll begin to have a ministry to others who are going through the same thing. I don't think hardships are wasted in God's economy or in His plan. And that was never an option for me to walk away from the Lord. Never was that an option.
How often, when we're pushed beyond the limits of what we think we can endure, are we able to persevere and trust God? Grace's story is an incredible picture of strength from God and how He is able to work all things together for good. Be sure to tune into the next episode for the rest of our conversation with Gracia.
Thanks for tuning in today to Broken Vessels, Hidden Treasures. It is our hope and prayer that you will find the grace and goodness of God even in trials. We'd love to hear from you, and your feedback is important to us. You can reach out to Paul and Tabitha with comments, questions, or to share an episode with a friend in need through our website at bvhtministries.org.